Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We are talking about time. Time for God. And our Bible text is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do everything according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Amen. Whenever I speak to people, they say the same. Time is moving fast. 100 years ago, people were working so hard, but they had time. Today, we have cars, we have computers, we have smartphones, everything to make life easy, and yet we have forgotten about time. You get up in the morning, before you realize it's time to sleep again. You look forward to holidays. You make plans. You're looking forward to it. And before you have time to think, already it's history. You can have children. You see them growing up, before you realize they have grown up, they got married, and you become grandparents, if you didn't die before of a heart attack because of stress. So you can either accept the reality and relax, or you can be hunted by time. You run and run and run, and you never get anywhere. So time is moving so fast. And because there is so much stress, people say, "I have no time. No time for the Bible reading, no time to pray, no time to go to church." They say, "Sorry, no time." When God calls them, they say, "Sorry, no time." When death comes, "Sorry, there is no more excuse." Then you stand before God, and God asks you, "What have you done for me?" What will you answer? "Sorry, God, I have no time." And then God will say, "Sorry, man, I have no time to take you into the kingdom. Go to hell." We have to understand that time is so precious. If you think you are busy, then comes into Joshua. Moses had died, and now he had to lead these people. The Bible says there were 603,550 men, but that's only the men. There were also women and children and servants. So there would have been about 2.5 million people. Our city of Bern, just to compare, has 134,000 people. So how many times Bern is what he had to lead? Joshua had to lead these people, and he also had to manage the religious and the judicial affairs. And besides that, Joshua was a soldier. He was not a clerk. Also, he had to find out what God's plan was with him and which route to take. It wasn't an easy task indeed. A lot of work. And to this overloaded man, God said, in the book, God said, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that it is written therein. So he had so much work, God said, meditate the law day and night. The more work there is, the more we depend on God. Pastor David Yonggi Cho, he said, I am praying 4 hours every morning, but if I have a lot of work to do, I pray 6 hours. Bishop Achinasare of one of the biggest churches in Ghana, he said, I have to pray every morning for 3 hours. Otherwise, I cannot do with all the work I have. So three men, and they all could have said, no time. I have so much work to do. Yet, they realized the importance to pray and to study the Bible. If you did your priorities right, you managed to do more with your time. God gave a command to Joshua and also a promise. He said, if you study the word day and night, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. If you put God first, the word of God first, you will be prosperous and have success. So prosperity and success comes when you study the Bible. If you say no time, then you cannot have prosperity and success. So the word should be readily on our lips. And when challenges come, it's a word that you have deposited in your spirit, in your heart, that will come out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the word of God is giving us wisdom and teaches us the successful life. But the word of Christ has to dwell in us. It has to dwell in us. And it can only dwell if we study day and night. Instead of small talk, you talk the word. When I was with my friend Bishop Eric in London, I was blessed so much. Because, you know, London is big. We had to travel a lot by car. Whenever we were in the car, there was a Christian TV radio program. When we came to his office, there was a Christian radio program. When I went to his house, there was a Christian TV. Always a word. The word was so much. So instead of listening to news and comedies, the word was so much that for me it was easy to do the ministry. Fill your heart with the word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Because the Bible was written by inspiration of God, it is the word of God. And it can change your life, and make you successful. It is used for instruction in righteousness. Many don't like to be instructed. They like to do whatever comes into their mind, that's what they want to do. But if you live into the day without giving a thought to the word, you're bound to make mistakes. Somebody said, I don't need to read the Bible, God is speaking to me directly. But that is foolishness. If you don't read the word of God, the Bible, how do you know the voice of God? How do you know if it is the voice of God speaking to you or not? Maybe it is the devil speaking to you as an angel of light, with smooth words, but it's bound to lead you into destruction. Our lives are like a building built by God. Our God is building us by the Word and the Spirit. When we give attention to the Word, something happens within us, because we were created by the Word. When God created the world, He created it by His Word. God said, and it was. God said, let us create man, and man was created. If the Word was so important for God, imagine how much we should be hanging on His Word. Like God created everything by His Word, so we can also use our Word to create things, but it must be according to the wisdom which God gives to us as we are studying His Word. That is why God said, meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous. I told you about the three men who prayed so much. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, do you know the shortest verse in the Bible? It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's very short. You don't need time to read it. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Somebody said, I have no time to pray. Really? You have no time to pray? You always have time for what is important. So if you have no time to pray, prayer is not important to you. If God is important, you have time to pray. There are so many times during the day that you waste time. Use it for prayer. When you drive the car, you can pray. When you travel by train, you can pray. When you walk in the street, you can pray. When you have a break, you can pray. And even when you go to the toilet, you can pray. Use these times to pray. Of course, if you only pray, God bless me today, God bless me today, after you have said it 100 times, you're tired and you give up. But that is not prayer. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for those you know. Pray for those you meet on the street. Merlin Carruthers, he said when he stands at the traffic light with a car, he is praying for all the people there. He said before I was shouting, always it's a traffic light, why do I have to wait all the time? Hurry up, hurry up, become green. And he said he began to realize This is wrong, wrong attitude. So he started to pray for all the people that he saw passing the street. John Nelson Hyde, he lived from 1865 to 1912. Praise the Lord. Because of hard praying coupled with faith, he got the name Praying Hyde. We have here a picture of Hyde. He became known by the name Praying Hyde. Of him it says, in the end he spent countless dark nights praying and weeping on the cold bare floor, not sleeping or eating, interceding for souls. He began to pray, give me one soul every day. Then he prayed, give me two souls every day. Then three souls, and then eight souls. And it always happens. Every day, so many people, as he prayed, gave their souls to Christ. Give me the souls, save each day, and baptize them into your kingdom. The burden to pray was so heavy that it could be felt by those who were nearby. They were similarly affected. Hyde's bed was hardly slept in because he spent most nights groaning for souls on the floor. And as a result, the number of converts all over India grew in leaps and heaps. Are you willing to pray like that? That your family members are saved? That your neighbors are saved, that the people you meet at your working place are getting saved. How can anybody say, I have no time to pray, while people go to hell? In James 5:16, in the Amplified Version, it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Heartfelt prayer is different from begging for blessings. Power is made available. Dynamite is causing explosions. Such results happen because of prayer. Take the prophet Elijah. The prophet prayed earnestly and heartfelt that it would not rain for 3.5 years on the land. And then again he prayed heartfelt, earnestly, that it would rain, and the rain came. If you know the Bible, you know how to pray and how to affect changes in your life and your surroundings. Of Jesus we read that he attended the synagogue. It says in Luke chapter 4 verse 16, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. It was the custom of Jesus on the Sabbath day to go to the synagogue. It was normal. There was no question about how he felt or what about time or feelings. Sabbath day is synagogue day. We say Saturday is church day, or Sunday is church day. There is no question to it. That's it. Fact. The early Christians, they met daily, every day, they met in the temple, and later in the synagogues. And because they were not permitted in the synagogue anymore, they started meeting different places, and that became the church. The churches became the customary place of worship where all believers gathered on Sunday and during the week. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." He is the head of the church, the head of the body. He's supreme over everything. The church is a body, and the body can only function when every part is working well. If the hand says, "Today I want to stay at home," the body cannot function. If the feet say, "Today I'm not going to church, I don't want to walk," the body cannot function. It's exactly the same thing with the church. If someone is not attending, the church cannot function. Imagine if he didn't come, if I didn't come for any reason, you'd stand at the door with nobody to open. If you are not coming, the church doesn't function. Who is going to evangelize? Who is going to bring people into the church? Who prays for the pastor? Who is giving testimony? There are hundreds of jobs to be done in the church, but if you don't attend, it cannot be done. To attend church is important because even Jesus attended the synagogue every week. Every week. It was his custom. Maybe our custom. And we say in our church, as we have service on Saturday, no Saturday without church. If you are meeting on a Sunday, no Sunday without going to the church. We need to worship together, to really worship. You cannot worship by yourself. You can only worship in the right way if you are corporately together. Take time for God. Take time for God. Take time for God in prayer, in studying His Word, in evangelizing, in sharing your faith. When was the last time when he told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time? When did you invite others to the church? When was the last time? I don't mean your wife, your husband, your children. I mean other people. Take time for God, because it is not lost time. You will find time at other times, because God will give you more if you give him your time. God said to Joshua, "Meditate upon it day and night, then you will prosper and you will succeed." And God is not speaking empty words. He's not just speaking empty words. He wants your time. Don't tell him that you have no time for him. And when you need something, you say, "God, I need it fast. Hurry up. I need it now." You expect God to have time for you. Time with God is well spent. And we don't have much time left before the day of the Lord arrives. Use the time and use it in the right way.